Vale. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. Now, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls, because we have with us on the line from the Midwest, Joyce Riley. Hi, Joyce.
Hi there, Dr. Stan.
And, of course, Joyce has her own radio program, the Power Hour, and then she does a program on the American Freedom Network. And she reaches out all across America. And, of course, she has the Gulf War Veterans Association, and they're doing everything they can to draw attention to the fact that our Gulf War veterans are having real problems. The government has been lying about their illness, has covered up the fact that over 130,000 of them were exposed to poisonous gas, not released by Saddam Hussein, released by our own government that blew up the depots at Kamachi and elsewhere. You would think that there might be somebody in the military would be smart enough to know that if you blow up explosive shells containing chemical warfare agents, why they might explode. And that's exactly what happened. And 130,000 of our servicemen were exposed to poison gas. And some of these have prolonged effect. And then, of course, we have many others, I'm sure, who are having problems related to their, certainly to the Gulf War illness. About how many of our veterans are ill today out of the 700,000 men and women we sent over to the Gulf to fight for freedom in 1990 and 1991?
Well, the official figure, if you go by the Department of Defense, depending on how you ask the question, will be somewhere around 240,000. There are reporters that are now calling, and depending on how they ask and how much they know about it, they'll get a response between 140 and 240,000. Now, this is a figure that we're talking about of those that are sick out of 700,000 that served. You just mentioned, Dr. Stan, the chemical issue, and if you don't mind, I'd like to expand on that for just a second.
All right, fine.
That is so important, because what we did not know is that the United States government knew in 1976, that's when the CIA first learned of that weapons depot called Kamacia, 1976. Chemical weapons were not moved there until sometime between June of 84 and March of 85, though. But then we knew that that was full of those chemical and biological warfare agents.
Weren't some of those from France and some of them from the United States? Weapons had been sent there. Weren't they marked?
That's correct.
What's the background on that? Because I know you've seen the videos that were actually taken by some of our forces and snuck out. What did it say on those boxes that contained the shells?
Well, many of them said made in the United States. Many said that they had been made in France, made in Germany. Some of them had the markings of Jordan on them, because a lot of the weapons that were illegally sold during the Gulf War were rerouted or transshipped through Jordan. So Jordan was our friend in being able to get these weapons in. There was a company called Matrix Churchill out of Ohio that was the central point of where these weapons were dispersed from, or where they were purchased from. So basically, the weapons representative from Iraq would go to Matrix Churchill in this area and would interview people, basically, who wanted to sell weapons to Iraq. Now, according to Jane's Defense Weekly, there was a tripling of our weapon sales during 1989. So the United States knew that something was about to take place.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Joyce Riley. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our special guest this afternoon is Joyce Riley from the Gulf War Vets Association. And she and her husband Dave are out there trying to get treatment for the Gulf War vets. And although the government consistently denied there was anything, real thing, such as Gulf War illness, now, of course, years later, why they finally had to admit that these young men, are ill. Many of them have died. How many have died? Do you have any idea of the Gulf War veterans, the 700,000 healthy young men we sent over to the Gulf to fight for freedom? How many of them have died?
Well, Dr. Nicholson uses the figure of between 30 and 40,000, and now that's a figure that's 2 years old. So we believe that it is definitely at around 30,000. The Department of Defense will agree to about 9,500. But that's only active duty people. When you consider Guard and Reservists, which is how, you know, I tell the reporters when they call the Pentagon how to ask the questions, because if they don't know how to ask the question, they'll get a different answer every time.
In other words, they can lie simply the way that they phrase the question or giving various meanings to the word is.
That's correct. That's exactly right. Now, this is interesting because in the past 3 days, I have had Denmark, the U.K., I just got off the phone with New Zealand just before the program, France. I've had every country you can imagine, Germany, Der Spiegel called.
These are reporters in these various countries.
That's correct, that have called wanting to know what's really going on. And what's interesting is they tell me what the Pentagon is saying. And are you ready for this? I couldn't believe it. This one reporter, well-intentioned, good reporter from, I believe it was Der Spiegel in Germany, which is no small magazine, of course, called the Pentagon asking about the status of Gulf War illness, to which they were told that has been determined not to be an illness. There are some joint pains and some rashes, but we don't have an illness, and that has pretty well been passed by the wayside for now.
Well, I believe even I've talked to Dr. Nicholson. We're going to have him as a guest for 2 hours this evening. But he said that even the Veterans Administration has found that, you know, about 40% of the Gulf War veterans have a infection with a Mycoplasma fermentis, which is apparently some sort of a genetically engineered organism. You know, that there's no question that many of these people are infected with a mycoplasma, and presumably they got it, we don't know, but may very well have gotten it from their vaccines. We do know that the disease that they got is spread to their children. In fact, in Dr. Nicholson's place, it was a spread to he and his wife from their stepdaughter that came home from the war, and then even the animals got it. And this is a mycoplasma infection, a very aggressive mycoplasma infection, with so many of our young men who went off to overseas to fight for freedom contracted, and the government, knowing full well what it's all about, because they hold the patent, is denying it. We'll be right back. Well, our special guest today is Joyce Riley, and we're talking about the Gulf War illness. We're talking about the fact that there were many causes for this. About 40% of the Gulf War veterans have a mycoplasma infection. Many of them had exposure to chemical weapons, which, of course, we'd exploded. And then, of course, the fires over there, the Gulf oil well fires and other chemicals that really have had a profound impact, and many of these people are seriously incapacitated, and they have been, of course, denied veterans benefits. They're being told it's all in your head. This is going on in England. It's going on in many of the countries that had troops over there, isn't it, Joyce?
Yes, and I'm one of those people that tested positive for the mycoplasma at the MD Anderson Cancer Center in 1996. I'm one of those people. Now, you just said that it's well known at the VA that 40% of the Gulf War veterans are positive for this rare mycoplasma biological warfare agent. Well, if it was well known, you would think that Dr. Sanjay Gupta on CNN would be carrying that story. I mean, think about what you've just said. 40% of the Gulf War veterans are positive for one agent, and still the Department of Defense is getting away with saying, well, gee, we just can't figure this one out.
Well, isn't it that the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology holds the patent for this mycoplasma fermentis, or is that an incognitus that they hold the patent on? That, you know, of course, they basically will tell you this is found in chronic fatigue syndrome, it's found in fibromyalgia, almost all AIDS patients are infected with this type of an organism. And yet, of course, they deny, of course, that it plays any part in Gulf War illness?
They certainly do. And that mycoplasma patent, if you want to go to USPTO.gov, that stands for United States Patent Office, USPTO.gov, just put into the search engine pathogenic mycoplasma, M-Y-C-O, plasma, and you'll come up with the patent. And basically, that's the picture of the Gulf War illness. So somebody has been doing something, either with the vaccines or with some type of transference of this disease vis-a-vis a Scud missile. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. And Dr. Nicholson, I would certainly defer to him on that. But the problem is we have got Now, Dr. Monteith, when we look at the picture of the Gulf War illness, 95% of the Gulf War veterans that served in Desert Storm are now out of the military. 95%. I mean, sir, certainly you have seen these colonels on TV that look like they should be first lieutenants. I mean, they look so young on television. They're promoting below the zone right now because we have a new military since the Gulf War. Now, in 1995, Senator Wellstone's office, Bill Siebenhaler, confirmed to me that 90% of the Gulf War veterans were out by 1995. 90% of our military. In an all-volunteer army, in a professional army, they served a 100-hour war, and they said, that's done, I'm it, I'm gone. I don't think so. They're a sick military. That's why they're out. And I'm getting all these calls now wanting sick Gulf War veterans to come on TV and talk about what these other Gulf War veterans may be facing, and they're scared to death. They're scared to death of retaliation by the Department of Defense. You have not seen one Gulf War veteran on any of the news networks talking about the Gulf War illness because they're afraid to. If they dissent on the war, they're afraid. They are afraid that their compensation will be taken away, which their average compensation is only $98 per month, but they don't want to lose that. So we have got a sick military that is already out, and about 240,000 of them have been compensated. Another 60,000 have been turned down for compensation. And you know that an epidemic is 5 to 10% of a population. Well, that would put it at 35 to 70,000 of the Gulf War veterans if you use the number of 700,000. That would be an epidemic. And we've got 300,000 or 250,000 sick, and yet nobody's doing anything. But you have four dead crows in Japan, and the whole world turns upside down until they figure it out.
There's an excellent video. Of course, it only tells you part of the story, but it's called The Thanks of a Grateful Nation. Now, it's put out to do away with the thought that there might be any infectious element to this, although, of course, you know as well as I do that but at least somewhere between 40 and 70% of the wives of people, veterans who have the Gulf War illness, 40 to 70% of the wives came down with the same thing. We have the report from we call it the Rockefeller Committee, report from the Veterans Administration said 40%. Senator Riegel said 70%. Certainly a significant number of the wives of the Gulf War veterans from the first Gulf War are ill. Now, how would you cover that up? Very simply, you control the media, and you never mention that. If you're out there in the listening audience, why, we carry the Rockefeller Committee report, and I think they can get the Riegel report from you, can't they?
Yes, they can. Everybody needs to get that Rockefeller report because it is so scathing. People will not believe what is in between those covers, believe me.
All right, and it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. How can people get in touch with your ministry and get your material?
They can call us at 877-485-3838, 877-485-3838, or they can call 877-GULF-VET.
All right, this is excellent material. You need to get it. You owe it to yourself. Because they're talking now about, well, gee, we may have to institute the draft, and we're going to have to reinstitute the draft, because, of course, they're talking about leaving between 1 and 200,000 troops permanently in Iraq. Now that we've liberated it, we're going to liberate it, we have to have troops stationed there permanently. And you have to understand this is part of a long-range plan. And if you doubt that, you need to go to their website. And I'm talking about the small group who plotted this whole thing. It's called the Project for the New American Century, and their website is www.newamericancentury. And read their report, Rebuilding America's Defenses. And they will tell you that, of course, we have to have these troops in the Middle East, and this necessity transcends, the regime of Saddam Hussein. In other words, it really doesn't matter about Saddam Hussein. We've got to have troops there and throughout the world because the American military, of course, being stationed and deployed and rotated around the world will be like the cavalry on the new American frontier. That's what it's all about. The world is our frontier. And, of course, we're going to control it, at least not you and I, but this small group of evil men who put this whole wicked plan together. And back in 1997, 1998, that already planned this war. Who were they? Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney. Go to their website or get our newsletter, and you can document these things. Have you had a chance to look in that at all, Joyce?
Yes, I have.
And did it blow your mind?
It is. Boy, you have to spend some time in there because you will have a real education when you find out how far-reaching all of this is. And, you know, they just announced on TV a few minutes ago that our troops are going to be facing chemical weapons. They said they will face chemical artillery, It's going to be loaded with anthrax and botulinum. They know for sure that it's there. Now, I am very upset right now. I'm very concerned because my heart goes out to all of these young men and women that are being used as sacrificial lambs over there. And the whole idea of this Gulf War is totally separate and apart from anything that we're seeing from George Bush. But, you know, back to the chemical issue, I just want to say, and this is real important for people to understand, that the how you want to talk about evil. Back during the Gulf War in 1991, in March of 1991, they had a bunch of weapons that were left over that we were talking about, made by the USA, England, Jordan, Germany, whatever, that were in these bunker complexes. There were 100 bunker complexes, each the size of a football field. They detonated. The 37th Engineer Battalion went in there, and Dan Topolsky, who was the head of that, the chief nuclear, biological, and chemical NCO there, detonated those weapons. But when they got inside there to detonate them, to set the charges, when they got inside the bunker complexes, they had been ordered to do this after the war was over, they saw that there were chemical and biological weapons. When they saw there were chemical and biological weapons, I asked Sergeant Topolsky, what did you do when you saw they had the bands, the colored bands of Chembio? He said, I told my colonel, Colonel Holcomb. He said, Colonel Holcomb, I said, then what did Colonel Holcomb do? He said, Colonel Holcomb called Schwarzkopf's central command and told Schwarzkopf there's chemical biological weapons inside that area, inside those bunker complexes. I said, what did he say? General Schwarzkopf's response was, blow it anyway. Knowing full well that those troops did not have chembio gear, knowing full well that they were going to be basically murdered over a long period of time. You want to talk about friendly fire for the rest of your lifetime. That's what they did to these troops.
And, of course, you know, the thing is that recently a couple of reserve pilots dropped a bomb over in Afghanistan, and it was a mistake. And, of course, it killed five Canadians, but they're being court-martialed. Here you talk about poisoning 130,000 American troops, and nothing is being done. Why? Well, because General Schwarzkopf's family has been part of this whole thing. If you haven't read the book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, Professor Quigley, you need to get it and read it, and you'll find out if you look at the index under Schwarzkopf, that the Colonel Schwarzkopf, that was General Schwarzkopf's father, was working, of course, for the CIA back in 1953, involved in toppling Mossadegh, who is the prime minister of Iran. And, of course, this goes from generation to generation. And there are certain people, of course, who can, they're just part of the establishment. And General Schwarzkopf's father toppled the Shah, the Mossadegh brought the Shah of Iran to power. And then, of course, in 1979, toppled the Shah, and we brought the wicked Ayatollah Khomeini to power so we could have a war between Iran and Iraq. And then, of course, when Iraq came out on top of that, then we had the Kuwait war over there. And it's the old idea, the balance of power. If you go back and read what Metternich did, exactly the same sorts of things. But Schwarzkopf was responsible for this. And when he was actually testifying before Congress, he was allowed not to be sworn in. Is that true?
That's correct. He was not sworn in, nor was General Powell sworn in. Now, I'm so glad you brought up that incident of friendly fire with relationship to those two pilots, because I'm going to be writing Schwarzkopf a letter, and I'm so glad that you mentioned that. That's very critical to this. And by the way, tomorrow, I'm not sure if it's 7 a.m. or 7 p.m., but a Gulf War veteran is going to be executed at Terre Haute, Indiana. This is real important. I want people to please contact the White House tonight.
Why is he going to be executed?
Because he's guilty of a crime, but he is absolutely brain damaged, though. And we'll talk about that. But he's totally brain damaged.
All right, fine. We'll be back in just a few minutes. And these sarin gases, these chemical weapons do have a profound impact on the brain. And it doesn't go away. And 130,000 were exposed to it. And the government lied and lied and lied. And only eventually did they finally come out and say, oh, yeah, 130,000. Remember when it was none? Then it was 5,000, 10,000. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty Today. A very important book is called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States
and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine. The fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working with an organized medicine, both at the state and national level. And the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi. Recently, a medical journal reported on the world's first proven remedy for the common cold, Allicin, the active ingredient in garlic. During winter months, a pure Allicin garlic extract reduced the risk of the common cold by 50%. This was demonstrated in a double-blind, placebo-controlled study, science's highest measure of effectiveness. Where do you get pure Allicin? You won't find it in store-bought garlic pills, but you'll find it in Alimax. Alimax provides the equivalent of 15 cloves of fresh crushed garlic. Where do you get Alimax? Dial this number now, 866-405-4000. Learn more about Alimax at 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Hello. Dr. Stan here, and I just wanted to mention that this is a good time to have a means, efficient means of filtering your water. And there is something called a Big Berkey water filter. It's the ultimate water filter. It's the most economic water filter you can buy. Well, almost. We'll be telling about one that's even more economic in a few minutes. But the ceramic filters can be re-cleaned up to 100 times or more, which is a real advantage. It's convenient. It sets up in minutes. It's powerful because it'll remove pathogens such as E. coli, cholera, and cryptosporidium. It reduces chlorine, herbicides, pesticides, foul taste, and odors. It's so powerful it can filter raw, untreated water from lakes and rivers. It's elegant, it's flexible, and ordinarily these are $279. You can get it from Radio Liberty for $239 plus shipping. And of course, when you buy this, we'll be glad to give you free of charge either one of the videos we produced or one of the four tape sets we produced. There's a list of them available when you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV. Warm. And then, of course, we want to mention the Miracle 2 soap products. And we sell the Miracle 2 soap products mainly because they're good soap. And not only that, we have an awful lot of people who just swear by them. And we can't make any medical claims for them. All we can do is tell you that many of the people who use these products love them. And they tell us all sorts of wonderful things that they've done for them. And, of course, well, we'll be glad to send you what the organization that produces the product says about them, and if you want to try them, why they're available by calling 1-800-5-448-927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And of course there's a soap and a moisturizing soap and a lotion and a gel, and then there's a neutralizer, which is a very alkaline solution. And my wife takes it seems to help her heartburn. It's sure a lot less than those fabulously expensive tablets that we were taking. I don't think they were $6 a piece, something like that. Ridiculous. And this alkaline solution for most heartburn problems seems to help her. Perhaps it'd help you. Call 1-800-5-448-927. Miracle 2. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and back on the line with us is Joyce Riley. And Joyce, of course, is with the Gulf War Veterans Association. Why don't you get your website out there, too, Joyce, so people can go to your website and pull down the fabulous information that's there.
The Gulf War Vets website is Gulf War Vets, V-E-T-S, GulfWarVets.com. And there's a bulletin board there also, so you can see what the veterans themselves are thinking and saying. And I also wanted to say real quickly, if you would please use the White House comment line and call them and say no to the execution tomorrow of a Gulf War veteran. We're not asking that he be let go. We're just simply saying that life without parole would be acceptable because this gentleman should not be put to death. In my estimation, he did not have a fair trial because they did not put the information into trial that he had brain damage. He was in the area of Camisea. He was exposed to sarin gas. He was an absolutely wonderful Ranger, Army Ranger, excellent military bearing, I mean excellent military history. He had not so much as spit on the sidewalk prior to when he got from Desert Storm. And then like many of the Gulf War veterans, he changed. He got violent, and he did a crime, and he doesn't recall it. Now, I'm not saying this as a defense, that these people don't seem to have the same brain function that an average person does. And so he is supposed to be put to death tomorrow in Terre Haute, Indiana. And ladies and gentlemen, we need your help. The comment line for the White House is 202-456-1111. 202-456-1111. And if you would be kind enough to fax and ask that Lewis Jones Jr. not be executed tomorrow because he's on fast track for execution at Terre Haute, the same place they put McVeigh to death. And the fax number is 202-456-2461.
Can they get the information on that from your website?
They can go to whitehouse.gov.
Okay.
And it's all there.
All right, fine. Let's go to Bart, who's calling from, Pacific Grove, Bart?
Carmel,
go ahead.
Thank you both for what you do. Joyce, two quick questions, and I'll get off the line and receive my answer on the air. First question, the 300,000 Chem Bio suits that were manufactured by a company called Isratech, which are known to be defective, will these be in use by our servicemen in the upcoming war? And question number two, the recent announcement in the last couple days of the SARS, acute respiratory syndrome, I'd like your thoughts on that, and I will take my answer on the air. Thank you.
Okay, fine. And first of all, let's talk about the chemical suits. They did a 60-minute program, and they brought out that many of these suits were defective. The Defense Department says, oh, no, they're all perfectly all right. You can trust us, you know, that we don't have the new suits are much better. What's the truth?
Okay, the truth is that in 1989, Isratex, just as Bart said, manufactured 850,000 of these suits that were defective. They were sold to the Department of Defense. The Department of Defense failed to do due diligence to even see if they were effective or not. And instead of checking their parachute like you would, I mean, you wouldn't just buy a parachute and then not check it before you jumped out of a plane. They let these men use these suits. They did not check them for defects. They had holes, tears, holes in the seams. As a result of that, we've now got, like we said, at least 100,000 sick Gulf War veterans that have been exposed to sarin gas, plus this gentleman that's going to be put to death tomorrow. Now, the other problem is that they were able to call out a certain number of these suits made by Isratex, but there are still 250,000 that are in inventory, according to the October 2002 GAO report. 250,000 remain in inventory. Now, the Department of Defense's response, if you call the DOD and you ask them about the chem protection, they'll say, well, we've got the new JLIST suits, J-L-I-S-T. The new JLIST suits, and of course it's a military acronym, but it's not important what it stands for, but they say there's the new JLIST suits, they're very light, they're very wearable, they're kind of like wearing ski clothes.
Are those the ones they demonstrated to the reporters, and they had a woman up on the stage wearing one who fainted?
I think you're right. I think that's the suit, yes. And the interesting thing about that suit, though, is that what they don't tell you, and all the reporters I've been saying this to, did they tell you those suits are only good for 24 hours? And they said no. So they have said now on the news tonight that they're going to be wearing these suits into battle because they expect chemical weapons. Well, they better have a very short battle because they're only good for 24 hours.
All right, well, we're going to be back here in just a moment. We've got Eric on the line, and when we get back, of course, we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 464-8295, and pray for our boys going into battle there, and pray for their families as well. We need to support them, and we need to pray that the battle will be quick and it'll be over with. And well, all we can say is that we can't change what is about to happen. But I remember what Richard Mayberry wrote in his September newsletter. He said, there's something out there, there's a thing that wants death and destruction. It prolonged the First World War, it prolonged the Second World War. And God help, let's hope it doesn't prolong this war.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that will give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just wanted to mention a couple of the products we carry, and we do this to help subsidize what we do, although we're primarily dependent upon people in the listening audience who believe in what we're doing. But we carry something called Phonopoly, and basically it's a board game played like Monopoly, and you can use it to teach your children and grandchildren how to spell phonetically, how to read phonetically, how to pronounce words phonetically. It's basically 5 board games and 2 bonus games, and we throw in a couple of books. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And, of course, we hope that you'll want to get this. The most wonderful gift you can give to a child is the ability to read, and at about 16 hours, why you seem to be able to begin to transform their reading ability. And it's a fun game. I played it. You'll learn a lot, as well as your children. And believe me, I've had young adults and even old adults and even old people like me who've used the program and like it. And then, of course, I believe we're entering into very uncertain times. And if you haven't made your preparations for what may lie ahead, because I think we're going to see reaction right here in the United States. I think we're going to see terrorist attacks here and a disruption of society. And so if you'd like to know about the various things that you need to have on hand, give us a call and we'll send you a Ready Reserve food catalog that has not only food supplies in it, but also has all sorts of other emergency supplies that you need for storing water and elsewhere. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And ask for a Ready Reserve food catalog and we'll just get that right off to you and you get it back to us and we'll make sure you get the product. So again, Ready Reserve Food Products is not only food, but it's many other emergency supplies. They've been around for about 30 years. We used their products long before we ever heard of Y2K, and I think you'll be very, very pleased with them. That's Ready Reserve Food. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Joyce Riley from the Gulf War Vets Association, and Joyce is on the front line of this battle. We've got Eric calling in. Hi, Eric. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Irvine. Hello, Dr. Stan.
Hi. Good to have you with us.
Well, thanks. I was wondering, because I remember a lady that I worked with a little while ago. She and I, we worked in a law firm, and her husband was a Gulf War veteran, and she mentioned to me that he was part of a lawsuit, and what I was wondering was if you've heard of any settlements that have been paid out by the government in regards to this Gulf War syndrome type deal.
Joyce, did you hear the question?
Yes. Eric, there are no settlements that have been paid out from the government because the Ferris Doctrine precludes you from suing the U.S. government. The lawsuit that I think you're referring to is one by Spagnoletti in Houston and Gary Pitts. That lawsuit, I'm not sure if they've decided to make it a class action or not, but that lawsuit is now about 5,000 Gulf War veterans strong, and it's against the chemical company makers. In other words, the defendants are the makers of those chemical agents. I don't have a lot of confidence in that lawsuit right now. I've met with Gary Pitts a couple of times. I just don't have any confidence it's going to go anywhere. The government has too much to lose, and I just don't think it will probably ever do anything for the Gulf War veterans.
And you have to understand, Eric, it's just exactly like the families of the victims of 9/11. And, of course, the government is offering them $1 million. Just don't sue anybody. And the people who want to go ahead and sue the Saudi Arabians because they financed the Al-Qaeda, 15 of the 19 terrorists came from Saudi Arabia. Osama bin Laden was born and raised in Osama bin in Saudi Arabia, and we know that the Saudi Arabians financed al-Qaeda right up until 9/11 and continue financing it until October of last year. And if you haven't read the book, Hatred's Kingdom, you need to get it. They were still financing Hamas and other terrorist organizations through the end of November of the year 2002. But the government is blocking those lawsuits. Why? Because they don't want an investigation. You see, a lawyer can get the depositions, they can get discovery, they can get records. And the last thing that people in key positions in government want is for the truth to come out. And of course, government is not supposed to be our master, it's supposed to be our servant. We were a republic with limited powers in government, and how far we've gotten away from that simply because the people from the dark side have gotten into government, and behind all of this are the dark spiritual forces. Anything else, Eric?
Sure. Yeah, I wanted to also ask you, what was the name of that videotape from your last hour? Sorry.
Oh, well, of course, there were two of them. One was called The Day That Changed the World Forever.
Okay.
And, of course, the other one was A Welcome to the World War III, the New World Order, / the New World Order. It's actually two separate tapes. And in the second one, there are two tapes in a set.
That's okay, thanks a lot. I'll let you go.
Okay. And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you're here in the Central Coast of California. Our guest is Joyce Riley, and I think we should all be very, very concerned because our boys will probably be moving into battle very, very soon. And these things happen because good people aren't informed and because, of course, there have been a lot of people out demonstrating, but you have to understand the same people finance the anti-war movement that finance the pro-war movement. They control and finance both sides, and everybody feels better after they've been out marching without wondering who coordinated this, who put up the money, who, of course, has the websites up there. Where do the full-time employees come from? Where does the money come from? And, of course, as the article in the Wall Street Journal said, just commented, of course, well, we could always find foundations that would finance it. Well, they finance the homosexual movement. They finance the environmental movement. They finance the pro-death movement. It's all financed by people and organizations of great wealth, and they finance both sides. And until the American people understand that, it's all a game. The only trouble is an awful lot of people die in these games. Joyce, go ahead.
I also wanted to address the issue on the pneumonia. I feel like this is a real concern. Bart called in and wanted to know about this new, unique pneumonia. The very fact that Dr. Julie Gerberding would go on CNN News at 8 a.m. on Sunday morning after they've had 9 deaths around the world, in the entire world, only 9 deaths, and say this is a global problem, I think means that we need to take it seriously. I'm very concerned about it. I don't know about you, Dr. Stan, but when they make the statement that there is no known cure for this, no known treatment for this, I think they're trying to tell us something. Some of the information was also comparing this to the 1912, it says, or 1918 flu epidemic. And it says, of course, everybody is beginning to compare this to the 1918 epidemic. No, they're not. No, the only time we start to compare it is when the media tells us we need to compare it to the 1918 flu epidemic. There's something wrong with this picture, and I'm concerned that it may be a distraction, it may be a diversion, it may be a creation that may be very dangerous for us.
Oh, I think only time will tell, but you know, we're being constantly manipulated, and what they do is try to get you frightened to death about this issue so you're not looking at the other issue. And as long as they can keep us diverted away from what's really going on and from the really important things, as long as they can keep the American people frightened to death, you know, the fear of another terrorist attack and, you know, selling where suddenly the stores are out of duct tape and plastic, the longer that they can keep us frightened, the less likelihood that the American people are going to be able to understand how this whole thing is being engineered and manipulated by those people working behind the scenes within the covert operations that really do rule the world.
And, you know, one of the latest big distraction stories that I think was a created story is the 15,000 U.S. military uniforms and U.K. uniforms that Saddam Hussein had gotten a hold of. Now, that story, when it hit the news, it was almost as if it was a fact. It was a U.S. military advisor or U.S. military intelligence, whatever. I mean, you know, they'd never put a name. They just put, you know, the kind of organization that the information came from. But yesterday on CNN, they backtracked totally from that story. And the Pentagon the Pentagon anchor, whatever her name is, said, well, you know, it's important that we try and search out as much as we can to see if this information is valid or not, but we have to believe what the Pentagon gives us. They were totally distancing themselves from that story because that story was supposed to lead you into the detonation of the oil well fires, that they had already been detonated, Saddam was going to do it, and we were going to have a mess to clean up, and therefore we've got to give Halliburton the contract to clean this up. Now, that is exactly what happened in the first Gulf War. And Dr. Stan, I don't know how you feel about me addressing the issue of the Kuwaiti oil fires, the initial Kuwaiti oil fires, but I will tell you that I have got more and more evidence now that there was involvement with not only U.S. military, but I did not know it. There were hearings in the U.N. Security Council all the way up through October of 2002. The United States Compensation Commission hearing, the United States Compensation Commission of the United States, United Nations Security Council was meeting for the past 12 years over the compensation that Iraq should pay, and Iraq totally denying any involvement with those oil well fires. Were you aware of that?
No, I wasn't, but I've heard, you know, of what you have suggested, and that is that you've actually talked to veterans, people with the military, who said that they set the fires and they were ordered to. Is that true?
That's correct. That's what I have been told.
Now, do you think it's disinformation or do you think it's accurate?
No, I think it's accurate. At this point in time, I absolutely believe it's true. Over the past 5 years, over the past 6 years, I have had five people come forward and tell me in the manner in which the U.S. set those fires. Number one, the first story we heard was, of course, about the Allied bombing run and the fact that they had hit as targets the Kuwaiti oil fields and the Kuwaiti refineries. Now, that wasn't really publicized very much, but I went back into some of the DOD documents and found that, in fact, that was true. The United Nations Security Council lists six reasons as to why those fires were started, and sure enough, the bombing of the Kuwaiti refinery by Allied bombing runs was one of them. The Iraqis say, and they have said since 1992, that we had nothing to do with the starting of those fires, that it was engineered to look like we did it. Now, granted, if I had done those fires, I probably would be saying the same thing, because I wouldn't want to pay that $192 million that was going to be owed to the Kuwaiti oil company. However, when they present their information in here, they show that, number one, the only evidence that the Kuwaitis had that it was the Iraqis that set those fires while leaving Kuwait was, number one, the newspaper articles, which Iraq said, excuse me, that is not evidence. And the second thing, now get this, Dr. Stan, I want your reaction to this. They found military orders on the oil well fields from the fleeing Iraqi Republican Guard that were Iraqi orders saying that they were there to start the oil well fires.
Gee, that reminds me of the fact that there were two passports, one at the World Trade Center and one at the plane that went down in Philadelphia. They were passports from the terrorists. We even have pictures of one of them. They just happened to fly out of the plane. Probably somebody opened a window on the plane and threw them out before the crash. We laugh, but, you know, how dumb do they think the American people are?
That's right.
If any of you want to see a copy, we have actually the picture that was on the FBI website of one of these passports, slightly burned and slightly, but the one at the World Trade Center was in pristine shape from one of the hijackers, and the one that went down, that fluttered out of the plane, that crashed into the ground and burned and incinerated everything, was slightly singed. But, you know, they're sort of like the magic bullet that they found on Governor Connally's stretcher in the hospital at Parkland Hospital emergency room on the day President Kennedy was shot in pristine condition, and they had to, of course, figure out how that went through the President Kennedy and went through Governor Connally and left all sorts of bullet fragments and reconstituted itself, and the American people believe that story.
That's
just
right.
Exactly as they believe so much of what's going on today. I mean, sure, they believe the story of the passports. They believe we've been told the truth about what happened on 9/11. Because that, of course, is the prelude to the war in Afghanistan. That is the prelude and the justification for the war with Iraq. And, of course, it will lead to a war, I'm firmly convinced, sooner or later with North Korea and probably with other countries over there in the Middle East, Iraq, and Iran, pardon me, Iran and Saudi Arabia, because, of course, William Crystal, who heads this whole group, what's known as the Project for the New American Century, has said that we're going to change the governments of these other countries in the Middle East. And then he said about Korea, we're not going to allow that to become a bomb-making factory. So, I mean, but everything goes back, of course, to what happened on 9/11. And that's why we can't let the American people know the truth. And we certainly could never let them know that we were involved in setting those fires over there, because we've always attributed that to the wicked Saddam Hussein.
And, you know, it's interesting. Let me just read one sentence from the United Nations Security Council, United Nations Compensation Commission. Now, this is a governing council that was supposed to determine how much money Iraq had to pay all of the countries that had been damaged as a result of those oil well fires. And it's dated 18 December of 1996. This is the report and recommendation. This is all going to be at thepowerhour.com also. This is paragraph 10. Subsequent to the appointment of the panel on 7 June 1995, the claimant, which is the Kuwaiti Oil Company, submitted supplementary evidence consisting of copies of documents, including military orders that its states were left behind by the retreating Iraqi forces. Now, the Iraqi forces, the Iraqi government says, wait a minute, you've got copies there. That's not even the way we write up our Iraqi orders, our military orders. You've got phony, forged documents. Now, we did not hear one word about this over the last 12 years, and the final compensation hearing meeting was held on October of 2002, and yet we were not even aware of any of this taking place.
Well, most of what goes on in the world we never hear about because of the degree of control that exists over the media in the United States.
Yes, and I was told recently, and I want to repeat this every chance I get, I was told by a major news AM mainstream producer that he told me that, in fact, there was so much control right now that there would be nobody speaking out in the mainstream media. And I said, my question was, is the control more than it has been before? I said, how do they tell you that? And he said, the statement is that nobody will speak out against the prevailing domestic policy. The only two people that are going to be speaking out, Amy Goodman of Democracy Now! And Moyers of PBS. Bill Moyers of PBS. Those will be the only two people that you're going to hear that are going to have a dissenting opinion on this war. And you know,
and of
that's
course,
absolutely correct.
I'm sure that their scripts have been written way ahead of time as well. For our listener out there who does not believe the media is controlled, we have a book called Into the Buzzsaw. It's essays written by 18 people, some of them award-winning Emmy producers and certainly Pulitzer Prize winners. One of them at Pulitzer Prize. Every one of them, because they wrote a true story, were put into the buzzsaw and their careers were destroyed. They could never get a job in the media again. And that's a lesson to people, to keep your mouth shut and go along with the flow. The book again is Into the Buzzsaw. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Written by, edited by Christine Borgeson, who tried to get out the truth about TW-800. She worked for 60 Minutes. Well, she used to work for 60 Minutes. Then she got a job for ABC. They came after her at ABC. They could not allow the American people to learn the truth about what really happened there to TW-800. And the same thing is true with so many other things, the Oklahoma City bombing. Into the buzzsaw, and you must understand you're not getting the truth. And this is why I do what I do 5 hours a day, why Joyce does what she does. How many hours a day are you on the radio, Joyce?
Oh, between 6 and 8 years
old. Okay, fine.
I'm trying to stay up with you.
All right, fine. Well, I think you even exceed me there. Well, anyway, let's get back. Of course, our boys are going into harm's way. Let's just hope and pray that there are no chemical weapons. If there are, that certainly these suits will help them. It should be a mad dash for Baghdad. But, of course, what's going to happen, and why won't Saddam Hussein just pick up and leave? That would be the logical thing to do, to take a few billion dollars and leave, and it's almost as if this whole thing is scripted. And I just hope and pray that the good guys win.
You know, my fear is that he's going to have to find chemical agents. He's going to have to justify doing what he's doing. Dr. Stan, he cannot go over there and say, oh, wow, there's nothing here. He can't do that. He's going to have to find something. It's going to have to be used. It's going to have to be horrific. And that is what scares me, is because my heart goes out to all of these families right now that are just living on the edge of their seats all the time, not knowing what's about to transpire. And, I would love to think that we can go over there and everything would be fine, but it's not going to happen that way. And you're right, we do need to keep these troops in prayers. We really need to hold them up 24 hours a day in prayer because they're facing a battle. They have no concept of what they're about to face, nor do they have the training to face it either. And in talking to Dr. Doug Roeke the other day, he said, Joyce, I am telling you absolutely, those gas masks do not work. He said, we measured them, and they're far too big, the filters, to keep out anything that would be damaging to them. They do not work. And he says, I've tried to contact the DOD, and they will not return my phone call.
And of course, Richard Mayberry said, there's a thing out there that wants death and destruction. Well, God bless you, Joyce. Thank you so very much
for being
with us, and it's always a pleasure.
God bless.
Bye-bye. You too. Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, The Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, The Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, The Rules of Engagement is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just wanted to read what William Sherman said. General Sherman, who headed the Union forces during the Civil War. He says, you cannot qualify war in harsher terms than I will. War is cruelty, and you cannot refine it. And then, some years later, addressing the Michigan Military Academy, he said, war is at best barbarism. It's all glory is all moonshine. It's only those who have neither fired a shot nor heard the shrieks and the groans of the wounded who cry aloud for blood, more vengeance, more desolation. War is hell. And I believe that, and I believe that we are entering into difficult and trying times. I think that we have to pray for our boys, because, of course, that's our duty. But it's also our duty to expose the fact that there are dark spiritual forces at work in the world today. And behind all of the things that are going on are these spiritual forces. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you really need to get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And we hope you'll get not only the book, but the video and the audio tape, because you can copy the book and the audio tape and get that out. And the more people that hear them and read them and watch them, the better why it'll be. Many people's lives have been changed by that book. Many people have left the Masonic movement and left these very, it's a cult organization, but you have to help us get the information out. Brotherhood of Darkness, available by calling 1-800-544-8927, and of course you get the special for $29.95, the book, the video, and the audio tape. It's a special bargain because we want you to get the information. And then, of course, we carry the book, Redecide. It's the truth about what happened to President Kennedy, written from the papers of the man who engineered the whole thing. His name was Robert Crowley, and he was in charge of the murders at the CIA. He was assistant director of covert operation. Redecide. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is really a day I think we all feel very ill at ease. I'm sure the president is going to announce the war this evening, and that our boys will be moving forward, and certainly we need to be all praying for them and praying for their families and praying that the war will be over very, very quickly. But as Richard Mayberry said, and I quoted him earlier, Richard Mayberry writes a newsletter called Early Warning Newsletter, and he says, you know, I've written a book. I've studied the First World War. I've studied the Second World War. There was no reason all of these wars could have been ended much, much sooner. He said the Second World War, the Germans repeatedly tried to surrender, and we wouldn't have let them. The Japanese had repeatedly tried to surrender. And any of you doubt that, we have an article that came out of the Chicago Tribune on the day that the peace was actually signed in on the Missouri in the harbor there in Tokyo, pointing out the Japanese had been trying to surrender for 6 months. And the invasion of Iwo Jima and of Okinawa were totally unnecessary. And the dropping of the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki were unnecessary. I talked to General Albert Wedemeyer. I spent several weekends with him. He was in charge of the army in China, and they had intercepted the offers of the Japanese to surrender. But you see, there's a thing out there that wants death and destruction. And until you understand that, you can't understand anything that is going on in the world today. Because behind everything going on are spiritual forces. And that eternal battle between good and evil that began in the Garden of Eden is being played out at this very, very time. And so if you don't have a personal relationship with our Lord, or you want more information, why, give us a call or go to our website and take down our newsletters. RadioLiberty.com, www.RadioLiberty.com, and certainly read them through and read what we say about the spiritual aspect of this, because that's why I do what I do 5 hours a day, and that our weekend programs as well, to try to focus you on the spiritual aspect of the battle in which we're engaged. Where we're involved in an epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any nation conceived under God can long endure. And I believe God is going to bring terrible things happening to this country because we've turned our back and we've rejected him, and the Christians in this country have been silent. And they've allowed to take God out of our schools and God out of our, and prayer out of our schools, and indoctrinate our children in government schools with a hatred of everything that's good and worthwhile. And that's why half of the marriages among Christians end in divorce today. God hates divorce. And that's why so many Christians have had abortions. And of course, it's all part and parcel of this same spiritual battle. And most people don't even know what's going on today. So we ask you, of course, to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our men going into battle and for their families. We ask you to pray for our leaders, because we're told to pray for our leaders. We ask you to pray, certainly, for our ministers, because they should be leading the spiritual battle. But unfortunately, they've been trained in seminaries which were infiltrated over 50 years ago by people from the other side who changed the message and changed the music of our church. And that's why, of course, America is in the problem where we are today. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for revival, because if the American people don't turn back to God, I'm firmly convinced that God is going to bring terrible things to pass in this land. And then lastly, of course, we ask you to seriously consider praying for our ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. I hope many of you will want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America truly is at war, and we will be at war, and our boys will be going into battle within, of course, a matter probably of a relatively few hours, a day, 2 days, 3 days, but I have no question at all we're going to the war, because this war has been planned for a long time. And once you get our newsletter, we'd be glad to send you a free copy of our latest newsletter. Just give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. You can go up on the internet and, of course, pull down the information from the other side that explains how they've been planning this, at least since 1998, long before the Bush administration ever went into office, planning on replacing Saddam Hussein, long before the 9/11 attack. Was that why we had a 9/11 attack and there were no planes in the air that day? Well, until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye. May the Lord be with you.
Is he beginning a speech tonight or something? Yep. That'd be good. It was given at 8. Now, was it that'll be 8 our time or 8 back east? I'm not certain. Maybe right now. If it's 8 p.m. Eastern time, it'll be right now. When Christopher is, he's going to, you know, follow it. He probably will. Now, so we're going to war.
I'm glad I'm not in the military right now.
I'm glad you're not in the military, too. I hate to think you're going off to battle. Okay, fine. Thanks so much. Okay, we got you some, you got a big shipment in. They're all, many of them are defective, and we're really trying to get that thing worked out.